I'm going to focus your attention on Isaiah 9, 6. It's the verse that we have been in for the last 3 weeks, and we're taking each of these titles one by one. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and today, Everlasting Father. Next week, Prince of Peace. This particular title of Jesus can be a bit confusing. How can a child that is going to be born into the world also be everlasting? Because everlasting, in its connotation, suggests that this has been before and is always going to be. How can that be possible? Well, we have John, who is Jesus' closest disciple, kind of helps us understand this. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, or Jesus. So Jesus was there in the beginning. And it says that he was with God, and then it says he was God. And it says also that he created all things. So we get a sense of how this child that was born into the world could be everlasting if he was God before he came into the world. The scripture tells us that Jesus is both the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning of the alphabet and the end of the alphabet. He's the A to the Z. He's always been and he always will be. So his birth into this world was a physical one so that he could enter our world. But he existed before that. He's everlasting. But there's another thing that confuses us here. And as we look at it, we see Jesus being titled as a father. Now, the reason that's confusing is because we don't see any other scripture that says that Jesus is a father specifically like that. Is Isaiah saying that this child that will come into the world is also God the Father? Because in Christian theology, we understand God as one, but as three parts. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And we see all three of those very clearly lined out in Scripture. So now Isaiah seems to be saying that Jesus is the everlasting Father. He's using that term for God the Father and God the Son. It gets a little confusing. It doesn't seem to gel with what we know about Christian theology. Although, if we step back and see some things that Jesus said, for instance, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. I have a daughter, and one of my daughters is a lot like me. And in some ways I could say, if you've seen my daughter, you have seen me. We are different people, but we have a lot of the same characteristics. And this is what Isaiah is getting at. But he's saying that this child will have the exact same characteristics as God the Father. Just as Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is one with God the Father so much so that he has all the same characteristics. He will be to the Jewish people an everlasting Father. But he's not just an everlasting Father to the Jewish people, he's also an everlasting Father to his church that he calls out. The famous English preacher Spurgeon from years ago reminds us of this. He says, in old Jewish custom, it is the older brother or the elder brother who was the father of the family in the father's absence. The firstborn took on the father's role. So the Lord Jesus, who is the firstborn among many brethren, among us, becomes to us a father. So Jesus takes care of the Jewish people, but Jesus also takes care of the church because he is the firstborn among many brethren. So that takes care of some of our theological confusion, because there is some confusion when we first look at this, but I think there's another confusion that gets in our way of really understanding what this means. We are in week 3 of a series now in the words of the prophet Isaiah here, and this child, Isaiah has been saying, has the answers to all the problems that the Jewish people at this time are facing. We call them the people of Judah. Jesus is to them a wonderful counselor. In other words, he has all the wisdom in the world to share with his people. Jesus is a mighty God. He also has all the power that they could possibly need for their lives and for their nation. But how is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, going to use that power and going to use that wisdom in the lives of his people here? Well, Isaiah gives us the answer. He says he's going to do it like a father. Now, I was telling a story a couple weeks ago with all the children up here, and I'm telling the story about my daughter who wanted to eat some gummy bears. And I told her she's going to have to wait till after lunch, maybe like an hour or two. It turns out she couldn't wait. I come back 5 minutes into the kitchen. She's got the gummy bears in her hands, and she's popping them in her mouth. I'm telling that story, and there's a kid up here, and he says, he raises his hand. I say, yes. He says, look, you can keep doing what you're doing, but I have another story to tell when you're done. So I told him, hey, we're in the middle of the service. I'll get back with you later. Well, I followed up with him, and it turns out he told me a story about how he was at his friend's house, and he was with his father at the friend's house, and they're eating raspberries. And his dad says, no more raspberries. You've eaten enough. It'll cut you off right here. No more raspberries. And as it turns out, the boy told me, I ate more raspberries. What is it sometimes about our parents, or maybe fathers in particular, as we talk about today, that sometimes we think that they will use their power and their wisdom kind of arbitrarily, right? I don't really know if I want to listen to what my dad's saying, because I don't know if he's using all this wisdom and power for my benefit. So I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Isaiah says, a child is born and a son is given, and he is going to take care of things for you. He will eventually put the whole government of the world upon his shoulders. So in other words, Isaiah is saying he's got this. He will be an everlasting father to you. He will take care of you. When we hear the word father, the problem is that many of us think of our earthly fathers. Anybody in here have a perfect father? Earthly father? Is your father perfect? Okay, we have one. I'll chat with you later. The Hebrew word for father is Ab, A-B. And I get to sit with people and hear their stories a lot because of what I do as a pastor and counselor. And I've heard some words for fathers that begin with A, B, and I'd like to share them with you. Some people have told me that their fathers were abrupt with them. Some people have told me that their fathers were absorbed in themselves, didn't really care much about the family, they were really just into their own thing. Some people have told me that their fathers were absent. Either their fathers weren't there at all when they were growing up, or their fathers were there, but their fathers weren't really there emotionally, weren't really there spiritually. And then, of course, some people have told me that their fathers were abusive. Their fathers downright did things to them that were difficult physically or emotionally. We might wonder, does Jesus, this everlasting Father, have the same of the worst characteristics of our earthly fathers? And it's a fair question. What kind of father, what kind of Ab is this Jesus going to be to us? Will he really, really take care of us? I don't know if anyone here has seen the cartoon from the 1960s, 1970s. I think it's called Rudolph's Shiny New Year. Anybody seen that? Okay. You haven't missed anything. Don't bother with it. But there's this one character in it called Father Time. And Father Time says, what do I do? I do what all fathers do. I take care of things. I take care of time. Interesting. The Hebrew word for father here actually comes before everlasting in the Hebrew. So we could translate this father everlasting, or the father who takes care of time. He's the founder of the ages. He's the possessor of eternity. He is father of our future. Jesus is the father of time. He takes care of it. And because you and I are stuck in time, then that makes him our everlasting father, and he will take care of us in our time. Now, why is this important to the Jewish people? Why is this an important word for them at this moment in their history? It was pretty clear here in the reading that we had earlier that they have not recognized God as the father of their future. The verses before what we read say that they have been looking to other nations for counsel. They have been looking to other nations for security. They have been consulting dead people or mediums to try to figure out what they're to do as a nation. And because of this, the scripture says God has humbled the people of Judah. They will walk in darkness and they will walk in confusion because they have taken advice from all the wrong places. Now, the Assyrian army is coming into their country at a very important trade route, and the Assyrians are going to begin trying to take over the land of Judah. And not only that, as we begin and keep reading in the book of Isaiah, we find out, I think we talked about it last week, that the Babylonians are actually going to take the people of Judah captive, take them out of their land. And so this is an important word for the Jewish people. Their joy is gone. They will be oppressed. They will be under the yoke of these other nations over time. And so in the middle of this, Isaiah wants them to see that this child that is going to be born to them, this child that's going to be given to them, will have the same character as God the Father. It's a child that will be there to take care of them and take care of these things that they're going through. This father has all the best characteristics of our earthly fathers, but none of the worst characteristics. The child who has all this wisdom and all this power only uses it for our benefit. And we see this as we follow this word Ab from the Hebrew, and then when we look in the Aramaic, it becomes Abba, and then in the Greek New Testament, we read and we see this word Abba. It is an intimate term. It is a warm term. It is a close term. Actually, the best way to translate it is daddy. That child who looks at their father like their father can do no wrong. Daddy. This is the one who won't let anything happen to us that isn't ultimately in our best interest and in his best interest. Now, we can all have the best dad, the best daddy in the world, but if we don't know how to interact with him, then what good is that relationship? And so we have to figure out, how is it that we interact with this everlasting Father? When we look back at Isaiah 9, we find some things. We find that God has humbled the children, his own children, the Jewish people. And you may be here today. You may be the person who says, I understand what it means to be humbled. That's where I am today. Maybe all you can see is the fact that you're in a humbling situation right now. Maybe you can't see beyond your situation. You need to know that Jesus is an everlasting Father. He's the one who created time. And he created time, get this, so that he could have a relationship with you, so that he could put you into this world. What is Jesus looking for from us when we are in one of these humbling moments? He's looking for us to simply honor him. I have friends who are in one of the most humbling situations I can think of. They have a 2-year-old child, and they went to see that child in the middle of the night, and the child was blue. They had to take the child and have the child med-flighted to another state, and they began doing tests on this child. It turns out that it appeared that the child was brain dead. And so they've been doing all these tests, and we're supposed to have surgery this week. But the only thing that I understand from this family as I interact with them on Facebook and as I know them well from before is that I hear them saying over and over, God, we want to trust you with whatever you decide in this situation. We want to honor you in this situation. And I see them, how they interact with the nurses and the doctors, and I see how they interact with their friends and how they're interacting with people to receive prayer. And I say, they're not focused on themselves. They're not focused on the situation. They're focused on honoring God. And I want to say to you today, if you honor God in whatever humbling situation you're in right now, I can promise you the everlasting Father will take care of you in that situation. So that's one way that you can interact with this everlasting Father, is by honoring him. Another thing I wanted to show you about interacting with him is, here we see that God allowed the Jewish people to walk in darkness. See, like any father, God allows us to make our own choices. He doesn't make all of our decisions for us. He has given us a free will. And there may be someone here today that has chosen to do life outside of God's plan for you. Perhaps you've chosen that very specifically, or perhaps you didn't know any better and you've just been doing what you're doing and you haven't really thought that that may not be where God wanted you. So perhaps you're here and you're not a Christian. Or perhaps you are here and you are a Christian, but you have not allowed God's light in a certain part of your life. You've shut out the light of God in a certain part of your life. Because you've shut out the light, it may be a dark and confusing time for you. And as much as God will allow you to shut out his light, he will also stand ready at the time that you're ready to receive that light. He will be there for you as an everlasting Father. As I look at my electric bill, I see how much money I spend to make sure that my kids have light in the house. And as I think about when we go camping and things like that and it's going to be dark, we plan ahead to make sure that we have flashlights, to make sure they can see where they're going. And that's the kind of everlasting Father we have. If we turn to Jesus, He will take care of that darkness and bring light into our lives. So that's another way that we can interact with God. The third thing we see is that God desires to bless His people and to increase their joy. So Jesus is the Father of your future. He possesses eternity. Nothing will get by Him. Everything will eventually work out to His will. We see here in this passage that the government someday is going to be on His shoulders. He is going to rule and reign in this place. And it may seem to you like right now your world is shrinking. It may seem like maybe your happiness is decreasing. But I want you to know that ultimately it is God's will to bless you. It is God's will to increase your joy. I know someone who is very sick right now. And the sickness basically has ruined life as she knew it before. So whatever happens moving forward is a new normal, because normal as she knew it is gone. And despite this sickness, she has been trusting God to take care of her and take care of the very pieces of her life. And it's a privilege to have a front row seat to what God's doing in her life, as I see God bringing new insights into her life, and she lights up whenever God shows her something. When I see the joy that is being brought into her life by all these spiritual insights, she's in a very difficult place, but God is enlarging her soul in this place and bringing her joy. What I want you to know is that isn't supposed to be some extraordinary experience. I think all of us can experience that same kind of thing. You can trust God with the things that are shrinking in your life right now, the things that are bringing you down. The scripture says He will be an everlasting Father to you. There's one last way I think that we can interact with our Father, and it's this. We see here in the scripture that God shatters the yoke of burden for His children. This is a picture of salvation. Actually, Isaiah's very name means salvation. So throughout the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is really explaining what salvation is all about. You see, we are born with a yoke of burden on our shoulders. It's called sin. We're born into this world with sin. You don't have to teach a young child how to be selfish. They just are. Jesus takes this yoke and burden of sin on Himself at the cross. He takes all of our yokes of burden and shatters them there at the cross. So because of Jesus, eternity is open to you. Eternity is open to me if we choose Jesus. He has the authority to bring us into that future age. He's the Father of the future. He's the possessor of eternity. So if you're burdened today, you can come to the everlasting Father who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. I've shattered the burden of that sin yoke that was on you. Take my yoke." My yoke is what? Easy. My yoke is what? Light. Jesus' yoke is light. Jesus' yoke is easy. And He calls us to be connected with Him. Now, we sent out a postcard. And it turns out the postcard mailing has been worth it. I got word this week that someone who received that card has attended church here and has been connected with one of the families here in our church. And this week said, "I've decided to walk with Jesus." You see, that's a picture of the yoke. Walking with Jesus is a picture of that yoke. Yes, He's broken the sin yoke, but He calls us to a new yoke, and He calls us to walk alongside Him. It's a beautiful picture. Maybe you're a Christian today and you're burdened down with something. I want to encourage you to share that burden with Jesus. Let Him do the carrying for you. Last night, my family and I went to another church. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. We went there for a special celebration of the night in Bethlehem. And we received this bag here when we showed up. And the woman said, "You're going to go around to these different places in Bethlehem, and you're going to make crafts, and you're going to do all these things, and you're going to place them in your bag so you won't lose them." So I took note of that. That was about all I could take note of. I wasn't feeling well last night, but I said, okay, I've got the bag. I'm the father of the bag, right? So I'm holding the bag. And it turns out my youngest daughter, she colored this top. And when you spin the top, then you see all the colors. It's kind of funky. It's kind of fun. So she painted it and everything. But she did not want to put it in the bag like everyone else. She wanted to hold on to it. You know, that four-year-old mindset. I'm not going to let my dad put this in the bag. I'm not going to let my sisters get a hold of this. This is mine. And whenever we went to a new station, she would place that thing there, and she would do that station, and she had her top there. She could see it, and she felt comfortable. And then that happened two or three times, and I kept telling her, Morgan, why don't you let Daddy take care of the top? Why don't you let me take care of it? No. Right here. We went to one station, the thing fell on the floor, and despite all of us looking for it in a 10-foot radius, we could not find the top. So we went back and we got this one that has yet to be recolored. But you know, I want to encourage you today, because we're a lot like that, aren't we? We want to hold on to the things of this world. Our life may be spinning out of control in some ways, but as long as we can see the top there, we feel more comfortable with it, right? But I think what Isaiah is telling us to do is to take that stuff that's coming up in your life, to take it and give it back to the Father, whether it's difficult things we've talked about today or whether it's God is blessing you and increasing your joy, all those things, just give them back to the Father. Give them back to the Father. Put them in the bag. God is waiting for you to put your stuff in his bag so he can take care of it. Some of you have been doing this, and you're wondering, I keep putting this stuff back in the bag, I keep giving it back to God, and you wonder, is he really going to take care of it? You're wondering, and you're waiting. And I'm here to say today that you can trust this everlasting Father, you can trust him with the stuff to put it in the bag. He always takes care of it. You might want to know what I base this on. Well, the table that we have in front of us is one way that I base my understanding of God taking care of us. Someone had to satisfy God the Father's holy standard. We couldn't do it because we are sinful. We needed Jesus' broken body, which the bread will symbolize for us today. We needed that broken body in order for the yoke of our sin burden to be broken. We needed this juice that we're going to drink today, which symbolizes Jesus' blood. We needed that so we could experience the joy of everlasting life. So God the Father sent us an everlasting Father, someone with all the same characteristics as himself, to satisfy the holy demands that he had. Now, if this is new to you, I want to say that you can enter into what God has for you today. You can call out to God. Or if you've never trusted Jesus to take care of your sin, you can call out to Jesus and ask him to save you today. The rest of us who understand what this means will participate in this, and we will remember the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. May your rule come, and may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread that we need from you. Thank you for Jesus, the everlasting bread. Forgive us our debts against you, as we forgive the debts of others against us. May we not be led into temptation, but we pray to be delivered from the evil one. For yours is the power and the glory now and forever. Amen.